Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a great joy to reflect on the Word of God at this hour. We have been reflecting on the letter that was written to the church at Ephesus by Paul while he was in prison. Paul wrote to this church to remind them of one thing, but he said it in three dimensions. He wrote to them to remind them that they were a wealthy, blessed new community. He told them that they were rich. He told them that they were wealthy in the world. He told them that they had a unique identity here on earth. Having said that they were unique and they are wealthy, then he told them, you need to walk according to that wealth. If you are a wealthy person, walk as a wealthy person. Do according to what that wealth deserves or demands you to do in a corrupt and Christ-rejecting world. Then number three, not only walk, he was also telling them, fight or make warfare and protect that wealth here on earth. Don't allow the enemies of the new community to destroy this wealth and your walk. That was the great message. Paul was in prison, but he also wanted them to know that his being in prison was not a failure, was not a negative. Some of them might have been discouraged by Paul being in prison. And so he wanted them to know that even while he was there, God was at work. We still look at more about what he's talked about is being in prison. But in Ephesians 2 and verses 1 to 10, we looked at where God picked this community from. He picked them, he saved them, and he used three words to show their relationship with the salvation, with the redemption, or with this gift of salvation, the gift of redemption. And we discovered that they are redeemed from. That is very critical. Remember, that is one of the blessings, redeemed. They are redeemed. They are saved from sin, Satan, and corrupt systems of the world and self. Then they were redeemed or saved by the grace of God, not their works. Number three, we also discovered that they were redeemed or they were saved for a purpose. And the purpose was to do the works that God had fashioned and wired them for in the world. God prepared them to do this kind of work. Now, in chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verses 11, all the way to 21, we want to describe how God reconciled this family. This family was not one. We want to see how God, the process through which Christ reconciled them or redeemed them, how he reconciled both Jews and the Gentiles. And that was by destroying the hostility, the barrier of hostility between the two groups. How he preached peace to both parts. And so we will look, we are going to divide it into three parts. This section, we are going to divide it into three parts. Number one, we want to understand what reconciliation is. What does reconciliation look like before Christ died? We look at the two groups. How are they like before Christ reconciled them? Number two, we want to look at how they were after Christ reconciled them. And number three, we want to look at the transaction through which Christ did to reconcile them. Reconciliation means bringing together. Reconciliation has got, we can talk about reconciliation in five dimensions. That one, they were reconciled to God, number one. Number two, they were also reconciled to one another, the horizontal. You know, and that's what we want to cater here, look for. We are going to look for here. Number three, they were reconciled to their own, their own position, to the position that God wanted them to have in the world. How are they reconciled to the world? Number three and four, how are they reconciled to their resources? God has brought a lot of resources here on earth. How are they reconciled? Now, this kind of reconciliation and also how God reconciled them and put them above all their enemies. But here we want particularly to look at how God reconciled the two of them. Let's look at the way how they were before Christ reconciled these two groups. How are they looking like? How would you describe these two groups before Christ reconciled them? Let's look at verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you are separate from Christ. Look at that horrible relationship before Christ reconciled them. And here he is focusing on this one group he's talking to, who are the Gentiles. But of course, all of them were like that, even the Jews. But he says they were separate from Christ. Before Christ separated them, reconciled the two, at that time they were separate from Christ. Number two, they were excluded from the citizenship in Israel. You know, they were excluded from that commonwealth. God has given commonwealth, and he had given to the firstborn son. It was not for the firstborn son, though it was committed to him. But these Gentiles, they were excluded before Christ came. Thank God for the coming of Jesus. Then they were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Look, they were foreigners. God has already given the covenants of the promise here on earth, but he gave them through the firstborn, the Jews. But he told them that they were foreigners. Number five, he said they were without hope and without God in this world. What a horrible state for them to be. When Christ says that he was to save them or to reconcile them, this is the state in which the Gentiles were. And it'd be good for us to realize that the transaction that Christ did was so powerful for us. And we are who we are because of what Christ did. Now let's look at the state in which we became, because we are the Gentiles after Christ came, after the death of Jesus Christ, after his reconciliation. Look, but now in Christ, this is after now, you can see, but now in Christ, Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Now, the new relationship is that we have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but now. The Bible says, but God. And this is only in Christ Jesus. We have been brought near. Isn't that beautiful for us to know that? For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Look at that. Now, we who were far away, we have been brought together. We have been made to be one. Christ has made us one. How? What is the transaction? He destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. This is the work that Jesus did. We must make sure that this barrier is not erected again. Men and people want to keep on erecting barrier between people and between themselves. But Christ did it once and for all. What he did is that by his death, he set aside in his flesh the law with its command and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Look at what Christ is doing. He's making them to be one. He has made us to be one. After his death, we are no longer foreigners. We are no longer without God. We are no longer in the world without hope. We are not fighting again. He destroyed that barrier. And now he has made one person out of two. Now, this is what we keep on talking about. We want not to lose this sight, because this is now that we are at the peak of this discussion about oneness. In one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put death to death their hostility. Now you see, through the body of Jesus Christ, he reconciled both the Jews and the Gentile. Through the cross, he brought them together. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross killed hostility. I want you to take this. The death of Jesus was to kill hostility. The hostility between them was blood law. Look at how he did it. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, that is the Gentiles, and peace to those who are near. All of them needed peace. It is through the peace. If the Lord never preached peace to the two groups, will never be one. That's why when there is a conflict between a couple, between people in the church, between members of a community, between people in an organization, one of the things that we must trust God for is that both of them may be open to the preaching of peace. Even before they think of reconciling, they must first hear the message of peace. That's what Christ did. He preached peace to those that are near. So when you are going to reconcile a team, pray for the peace for the two groups. Peace of God. Look at verse 18 says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's what Jesus did. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Now, God says we are no longer foreigners now. We are God's people. We are members of his family. Now, that is the message of the book of Ephesians. You are no longer foreigners. You are members of his household. And I want you to maintain that. We are members. We are family of God, a big family of God. But we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, look at now Christ, what he did, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. So what God is doing here is that he has brought the two groups to become one. And he uses the image of a building. And he says that we are built on apostles and the prophets. That is about the Old Testament. We are built on that. And Christ is the chief cornerstone. But why? Why is God building this? Because he is looking for a place to dwell. God wants to dwell incarnate on earth. God wants to become Emmanuel on earth through the new community. Now, don't forget that. The big purpose, the arc purpose, is that God wants to dwell on earth. Look, verse 22, and in him, you two are being built to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. So God lives on earth through us. We are God's dwelling place. That's why we must maintain the peace. That's why we maintain oneness. Father, we are grateful. We know that we are no longer two but one. Thank you for the transaction that you have done. Help us to maintain this oneness so that you may dwell in us, in Jesus' name.